Episode 4. It was going to happen sooner or later. This is the coffee episode. I'm a bit scared doing a coffee episode. There's so much to talk about, and there are many, many opinions when it comes to coffee. Ben once said to me, when I was buying something online and I was reading reviews, and then I promptly ignored all of them. Ben said, there's mostly opinion on the internet. And I think when it comes to coffee, nothing is truer than that. So I'm going to try and keep it pretty light. You can really don't have to believe all the things I say. It's all my opinion when it comes to coffee. But that's the whole point. Coffee, I say this all the time, because lots of people just like drinking instant coffee, whereas I would never do that because I think it's gross. Coffee is very personal, and that's all that counts, really. If you like it, then fine. But you don't have to diss other people. So that brings me to the topic of coffee snobs. I don't consider myself a coffee snob, but if you were to look at me from the outside and examine my actions, then I probably really should be in the category of coffee snobs. Because, first of all, I only will drink coffee that tastes really nice, in my opinion. I don't like instant coffee. And I generally don't like most cafe coffees, because I don't think they do it very well. I have a pretty fancy machine, which I spend a bit of money on. I buy freshly roasted beans and I grind them myself. And I can pour rosettas or leaves or whatever you want to call them. Pouring pretty well too. But I want to start off with why I like coffee. Because I really only started drinking it about 4.5 years ago. In final year of uni, I didn't drink it at all through uni, and I don't drink it to get the caffeine. I don't drink it so I can study like lots of people in uni do. I heard some crazy stories of people drinking 6 shots in the one coffee and then 2 of those in exam times. I don't do that. That's ridiculous. So I don't really drink it for the caffeine like a lot of people do. I really only drink about 1 a day, sometimes 2, depending on how I'm feeling, what time I get off work. So I really like coffee because I enjoy making it. That's number one. I like making it on my machine, and I like seeing the crema come out of the machine. That's really my number one joy. I like it when everything comes together and you get the perfect, in quotation marks, shot of espresso. So it starts about 3 to 5 seconds after you turn the pump on, and the shot itself runs for about 23 to 27 seconds, and it's golden brown, and it runs, it doesn't drip, and it doesn't run freely. It's sort of just in between, like honey. The drips are just joining each other, and that's what you'd call the perfect shot. So from that point of view, I like having people over because I get to make more copies. And I usually make, when they come over, I usually just make flat whites because then I also get to practice pouring leaves or rosettas, which is pretty fun as well. But when I drink my own coffee, I usually just have an iced coffee. That's the way I usually like to drink it. Because I suppose even before final year uni, if I did drink coffee, it would be in the form of an iced coffee drink, you would call it. It's not a coffee, it's a coffee drink. Because mostly milk and sugar with a little bit of coffee. And the coffee's really not the highlight. But, so my iced coffees have taken that one step further. They're basically just a cold flat white. So I get this shot and I pretty much just dump the shot over a glass of milk and ice. And sometimes sugar, sometimes not, depending on what beans I've got and how fresh they are. And stir it in, and that's my iced coffee. It's really, you get to enjoy the coffee-ness a lot more than you would in a coffee drink. But it's an iced coffee, so that's the way I usually like it. I sometimes will have flat whites if I'm practicing my Rosetta pouring skills, but lately I've been saving that to when I have people come over, so I get to have a run of a couple in a row, because it's hard just to wake up in the morning and do a perfect leaf. You've got one chance when you're making your own coffee, one chance per day to do a perfect leaf. It's really hard to progress. You sort of need a couple at least back to back so you can improve. From that point of view, the way I like it, just an iced coffee, I'm not really into all getting different flavours out of coffees. I'm not really into all the different flavour profiles and the single origins and all that fanciness. And the people, they do what's called cupping, so they prepare single origins in various ways, and they get the coffee, it's not just from one region, it's from a single farm. They break it down by farm. It can be traced back to a single farm, and that farmer was paid premium price for his coffee, and then they brew it in a very special way, even probably in a siphon filter, a Hario siphon, and then they put it in fine bone china, and they drink it at different times, so it cools, and they get the different flavor as it cools, it changes flavor. I'm not really into all that, but I can see where you'd get enjoyment from that. And that's what I mean by coffee is personal. I personally wouldn't get much enjoyment from tasting different things in coffees, but I can see how other people would. I really just like strong chocolatey type coffee in an iced coffee. That's my favourite sort of coffee that I like to drink. So I'll just run you through some of the beans I get. I still haven't figured out how I'm going to approach roasting. I'll get onto that later. Well, if you're really into coffee, sooner or later, you will be approached by somebody who is of a like mind, and you'll try and get some sort of roasting going. So you're roasting your own green beans, and so you can get it fresh as fresh, etc. Because I'm still buying roasted whole beans. They're far more expensive, actually, than buying green beans and roasting them yourself. And depending on where you're buying them from will depend on how fresh they are. And some people reckon that beans are best 4 days after roasting. Others say 8. Others say somewhere in between. But anyway, if you're buying roasted beans, you're generally not getting them from the shop till at least 5-6 days after roasting. So if you're one of those people that think 4 days after roasting they're the best, you've already missed out on that window. So, my favourite beans. I've got a couple, but I usually get the. Well, I've got three favourites that I'll rotate around between. Two are from Campos. The first is the Roma Espresso Blend. And I'm just reading this off their website. This is, I'll just paraphrase. It's a blend. It has 15% Robusta, which is generally considered to be an inferior coffee, but they reckon that the Robusta in this is grown at the same altitude as all the Arabicas, so it's the highest quality Robusta you could get. And because it's such low content, it just gives the harsh chocolatey influence, but it doesn't make it too bitter. The Arabica brings out all the sweetness. And quite well in black, though, again, a little more on the powerful side, so it's not for the faint-hearted. Well, I don't drink black coffee anyway. So we'll go down to the cupping notes. Punchy and juicy, slightly aggressive, chocolatey with milk, thick crema. So you can see why I like it, because as I said before, I just like crema, and I like chocolatey coffees and milk. So I really like that blend. The next one that I really like is from Gridlock, which is down in Melbourne and on Exhibition Street. I just stumbled across this cafe when I was down in Melbourne. I think I read something in the paper. The barista there was a world latte art champion at one point. I really like this coffee. It's a lot milder than the Campos, but it's still very chocolatey, and it's really good in iced coffee. So I will read you the cupping notes from their website. House blend, Gridlock coffee. Has a caramel sweetness, light acidity, a smooth mouth feel, dark chocolate flavour. It's well balanced, and overall it is a smooth body with butterscotch and caramel sweetness. Clean aftertaste, roasted medium, suitable for milk-based drinks. That's interesting, it's roasted medium. I've noticed that, it's a lot lighter in colour than the other beans I get, and that would probably be why. It's only roasted medium. But I really like that blend. It's my favourite. I like it in iced coffee, and I like it in flat whites. It sort of has a similar flavour profile, worked out by someone who's good at cupping to the Roma. But it's got no Robusta in it, so that's why it's a lot milder. Another one I really liked, this was a limited run that Campos did at one point, was the Indian Monsoon Malabar. And I liked it because it just put out more crema than any other bean I've ever had has put out. And it was really, really thick crema too. It's so thick that it's just impossible to pour a proper leaf in it. If you were to pour your standard 60ml double shot, it would all be crema. I really liked it, but the taste of it wasn't as nice, I didn't think, as the Roma or the Gridlock. No one knew Gridlock, but the actual taste, but I just really liked the amount of crema that came out. So if I can just read you the cupping notes for Monsoon Malabar. Oh, they've even got aroma here. So its dry aroma is nutty with nice caramel notes and earthy. And the wet aroma was dark caramel forest floor. Yeah, so I'll have a cup of dirt cup of florist dirt, if you please. That'd be lovely. But the tasting notes for that one is acidity, medium to high, full body, and the flavours, solid, earthy, dark cocoa notes, and orange pith. The best part about the coffee is the dark cocoa flavours. Mouthfeel, full and certainly not linear. Oh, you wouldn't want a linear mouthfeel. No way. With a long finish. That's interesting. You can see all the flavour profiles for these blends are pretty similar. So maybe I do know what I'm talking about. I don't really. I'm not huge on the actual taste and working out what different ones taste, because drinking an espresso, you can't really do that. You have to really be drinking it black and prepared a different way, either filter or fancy siphon method. And the last one that I really like, but I haven't had for a little while because it's not quite as nice, is Bourbon Street in Campos. I think it's a lot more, I think it has less body, it's a lot stronger up front. I think that's acidity. So the cupping notes are sweet and lively in the cup, as bourbon should be. Mouthfeel is syrupy and smooth, lingering. There you go. That's, they've even included the countries of origin for this blend. It's a blend of Rwandan, Brazil, and El Salvadorian coffee. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm not at that point where I know which flavours belong to which regions. I might one day do a cupping course or get a siphon and do a bit of experimentation, but that's probably going to come after when I start roasting my own, because at the moment I'm just buying the blends I like, because I just like making it more than drinking it. But there's a lot I can improve on and investigate in those areas. Okay. So, and I also like, shush, make yourself a dang quesadilla. My wife's making quesadillas for lunch, so probably in a couple of minutes, or maybe 15 minutes, if we're still here, you'll hear me chowing down on that. That'd be really nice. I was going to say before I was interrupted that I also, when I went to Thailand, I had Thai coffee, and since then I really, really like Thai coffee. Vietnamese coffee I also like, but not as much. It's far stronger than Thai coffee. It's really, really strong. If I'm running through Thai coffee, they're similar, but just, so Vietnamese is Thai times 50. But Thai coffee basically has a really dark roasted bean. Most espressos are medium to medium dark roast. So start off with a really, really dark coffee, so it's going to be bitter. Then it really doesn't matter how you extract the coffee. You can do it espresso in a cheap machine. That's how I had it in Thailand. I just had a cheap espresso machine and extracted it on the cheap on the side of the road to get it really bitter. Or you can do plunger or filter methods, which are going to be more bitter anyway. Then you add an awful lot of condensed milk and you fill the rest up with evaporated milk. And then you chuck a ton of ice in and you drink it cold. And it is fantastic. It's the best. I like it probably more than regular, more than the iced coffee I make and have every day from my machine. Sometimes I make Thai coffee, but because I'm using my espresso machine to get the coffee, there's just no way I can get the dark strong coffee taste that's typical of Thai coffee. I get pretty close. Some Thai coffees even add spices. The one I had in Thailand didn't, but some do. I'm just gonna try and find the spices they use. Just looked up a recipe on Google. And that one doesn't. Some do. There's an overnight version. So they're adding cardamom, cinnamon, and almond extracts. Sometimes. That's interesting. Maybe I'll save this recipe and try and tell you how it went. Maybe next time. The next thing I've got on my list here, I've made a little list for this podcast because Ben's brother, he hit me up on Twitter. He's the first person to hit me up. He listened to a podcast I did with Ben, and it inspired him to do his own podcast. So he hit me up and asked me different questions about what he should be using to make it and programs and etc. But he also wanted to know if I do multiple takes when I'm recording these, or whether I just do a single take. And the answer is I just do a single take. He said he did 12 takes and then got over it. To that I would say, this podcast is mine. I can't say the wrong thing. I'm well aware that sometimes I won't be as eloquent as I could have been had I done 12 takes, or I might not say things succinctly as perhaps I could. I might stutter, I might say the wrong word, but who cares? No one's going to listen to it anyway. I'm just sitting here on my computer talking for my own benefit, and maybe you'll find what I talk about interesting and look stuff up, or maybe you won't. So I'm not taking it very seriously. So I just do it in a single take, and it's also so I can try and get a little bit better at talking for various reasons. Alright, so I'm gonna cover off now on some of the machines I've had. My current machine is a Rancilio Silvia. It's the third version, the newest version of that machine, and it is a really, really nice machine. It's basically considered by most people on the net to be, and by extension most people, to be the best single boiler machine available. I'm just going to pull up some stats for you, so I'll run you through what it's got. I definitely think, from all my research and looking at other people's machines, that it is the best machine you can get for a reasonable price. I got mine for $750, brand new. Ben got his. He got a V2 factory refurbished for $450. But it is a fantastic machine. I'll just read you some of its specs. It's made in Milan, Italy. It only has a single 300ml boiler, which is really small when you start thinking about really good quality domestic machines. It's an 1100-watt boiler. It's chrome-plated. Got a chrome-plated brass porter filter. It's got the commercial size filter basket, which is 58.6 mils, It's got a 2.5 litre reservoir. It weighs 14 kilos. It's got a ball jointed steam arm with one hole tip, which produces a ridiculous amount of steam. It's very good from that point of view. Makes very nice milk. If you're not into machines, you probably won't get a whole lot out of those specs, but I thought I'd read them off, because if you start thinking about getting your own machine, you'll start looking at specs, and that's a Sylvia. So it's got a very small boiler, and its one downside is you have, because it only has a single boiler, because you are brewing your espresso shot and steaming milk at very different temperatures, to brew a good shot, you want the water to be hitting the coffee grinds at about 92 to 94 degrees Celsius. You've got to have the boiler running about, different for each Sylvia, but my Sylvia, Gronk was a bloke on Coffee Snobs who first described the method of attaching an aftermarket thermometer to the boiler so you can know what temperature it's at, and that can help you get more consistent shots. So I gronked my Sylvia, and I know that the boiler, if I run it at about 113 degrees, I'll get the best tasting shot. I don't know the exact temperature at the group head, but I'm assuming it's somewhere between 92 and 94. But then if you want to run it to produce steam, you have to have the boiler at about 156, 160 degrees. What that means is it takes a lot longer than a machine with two boilers to make a cup of coffee, because you have to either steam the milk and then cool everything down by 50 or 40 something degrees and then pour your shot, or pour your shot and then heat everything up to do the steam. I don't find it such a big deal because I mostly have iced coffee. But if I have some friends over and I make them all flat whites, it can take me 15 minutes to make 3 cups, doing everything properly and making sure that they all come out well. So it's very fiddly machine. It takes a lot of work to get a good shot. And the other thing about it is there's only 4 switches. You can turn it on and off. You can turn the group head pump on and off. You can heat the boiler up to produce hot water, and you can heat it up to produce steam. And then you've got a toggle to open and close the steam one. That's it. You've got no temperature control other than time, and knowing what temperatures the thermostat clicks on and off at. There are a lot of websites online that have figured out those things, so it's pretty easy to set up and gronk. That's another good thing about the machine, is because Ranchilio is basically a commercial machine company, they make commercial coffee machines. This is their only domestic machine that they make. All the components are commercial quality, and in some cases actually commercial components. So they're easy to come by. They're really good quality. They're all brass to keep the heat in, and it makes a really good cup of coffee. I'll probably talk a bit more about Sylvia later, but the other machines I had, my first machine was an old DeLonghi. I think it had a 52mm group head, so a bit smaller, and it had a pressurized porta filter, so it sheeted to make the crema. I just got that free from a friend of mine, which I really appreciated at the time. So I liked going around to his place and having some coffees and watching how he made it. And he upgraded to a Sylvia. He got his second hand from a gym, plus a really nice grinder. And then he passed it his DeLonghi machine and grinder pair down to me. I've still got that grinder, just a DeLonghi cheap grinder. I think it's also known as the Starbucks grinder. It only just grinds fine enough, but it does a pretty good job. It's pretty consistent. And it is, in fact, a conical burr, which you'll hear thrown around as the only grinder worth having. The machine I had in between those, once the DeLonghi died, I got a Sunbeam, and that the seal gave up in that machine after about 6 months. So that, talk about quality there. A Sylvia in comparison. Well, the DeLonghi even, I don't think my friend would have replaced any seals on it, and he had it for a couple of years before he gave it to me. And then I had it for at least 2 years before it gave up. So that's pretty good quality there. In the end, I think the pump died on it. And it's a pretty cheap machine, so I didn't bother repairing it at all. But the Sylvia now has been going for 18 months, and the seals are doing fine. But it did, I have run into my first maintenance problem. I've looked after it, I've descaled it twice in about 18 months, and I regularly back flush, so I put cleaning solution in the portafilter and run the water in, under pressure back up through the system to get rid of the coffee oils. I do that at least once a week, if not more, because it's pretty easy to do. I've got two handles, two portafilters, one with the blind basket and one naked. The naked I actually use. Well, I'm talking about my own setup, I'll get back to that. But so it broke. And I think I'm going to need to buy a new solenoid coil. I looked up online various places as to what could be the problem, because basically what was happening is I made two coffees just fine on the day with a friend when a friend came over. Then I turned the machine off, waited a couple of hours, and just, I was going to make him another one. So I turned it back on, ran the pump, no water from the group head. Water from the steam wand only. Even though the steam wand was technically sealed off. So what's happening there? You would probably assume, like I did at the time, that there was a blockage in the pipes leading to the group head, and that the washer in the steam wand has failed as a result, because there's excess pressure and something's got to give, so the steam wand gave. Which is probably a good thing, because then at least the pump didn't give. So that's what I assumed. I took the whole machine apart. Another plus for the Sylvia is that it's pretty simply built and easy to take apart. So I took all the panels off and took all the plumbing to pieces. Gave it a really good clean. Ran a pipe cleaner through it, and I couldn't find any blockage anywhere. So the next, a little bit more research, and if, I think still the steam wand washer has failed, so I'll definitely need a new one of those, because it's leaking when it was shut, and it's done that for a little while, so I think that's just incidental, but I'll be replacing that for $15, including postage. That's pretty good, it's a cheap fix. But I think I will also need to get a new three-way solenoid coil. So that's the electronics down in the group head that decides which way water flows. Either flows to the group head or to the overflow tray or to the steam wand. I think that's the three ways. And the good thing about the solenoid is after the shot has been poured, it will release all the pressure to dry up the puck, so you can easily get it out of the portafilter. That's just an added bonus. So that's about $100 to replace. I'm going to replace the steam wand washer first, and see if that fixes it, but I don't think it will, so I think I'll need the new solenoid coil, but that's okay. It's a pretty easy fix and I can do it all myself, so I didn't have to take it in to any sort of repair shop, and I've got no delays there and I won't have to pay any labour fees, so that's good. A friend that came over when it broke, he's got the Sunbeam EM6900, I think it is. EM6900? Yeah. Oh, that's right. My friend that gave me the DeLonghi, he upgraded to this machine. He had two of them. They both broke eventually. And then he went to the Silvia. And he went to a second-hand Silvia. And it still hasn't broken. So if you're tossing up between the two, tossing up between a Sunbeam EM6900 or a Silvia, and it is really probably the most common comparison somebody looking for a better home machine will make, you'll be pulled towards a Sunbeam because it looks good. It's got a twin thermo block, so I think it's still got one boiler, but it will technically be able to make a shot and steam the milk at the once, and it's reasonably priced, but from the ones I've seen, they're not as reliable, they're not as easily taken apart to fix, and definitely they don't produce as good quality shot as a Silvia. And I think my friend would agree. He's had two of them and now a Silvia. It's just not as nice. Also, because Sunbeam is a domestic company that have built this machine from domestic up, so it's just got better quality domestic components rather than commercial components in a smaller body. So it just feels a bit cheaper. It doesn't feel as solid as a Silvia. It looks a bit nicer. It's got nice shapes and it's got a few pump gauges and it's got more controls and switches than the Silvia, but it's all just extra paraphernalia to make it look good. And that's the problem with the Breville dual boiler too. That machine, which you can get for about $1,500, is always reviewed as the best, in quotation marks, domestic machine for under $2,000. Well, I would rather have a Silvia than it. My uncle's got one. Moss, it does have two boilers, so it's got a boiler dedicated to pouring the shot and steaming milk, which is, means you've got more speed when you're making copies. It's also got other good things. It's got a shot clock, it's got PID temperature control, so the temperature's more consistent. It's more automated, but again, it just feels cheap. And I don't think the group head is got commercial components in it, so it'll be harder to repair and more expensive to repair, and I don't think it is as good a group head as the Silvia has. Alright, so I'm going to talk about let's talk about my Silvia, but before I do, I'm just going to pause and get and reheat my rice pack here to heat to, because I hurt my back at soccer training. But while I'm doing that, this is your song of the week. I heard it on Triple J and it reminded me how good a song it was. It's by Sparkadia. I haven't heard of them for a little while, but it's a really cool song. It's got a really nice guitar part, rhythm guitar part. He plays a Rickenbacker. I'm not sure what amp he's got, but I think by the sounds of it that it would be a Vox AC30. So this is it. I'm going to reheat my rice pack. pack, and then we'll be back to talk about my Sylvia setup. So I'm back. I've got my rice pack. So my Sylvia, what have I done? I've gronked it. As I said, it's pretty straightforward. You just put a temperature probe onto the boiler. There's plenty of screws on there, and you can just pick one and unscrew it a little bit, stick the probe in, screw it back down. I've got a naked portafilter. That's the handle-y bit. So basically what that means is the basket, which is what holds the coffee grounds, that sits in the portafilter. That just goes straight from the basket into the cup. That doesn't go down into any spouts. You can see the coffee come through the basket. The benefit of that is, A, it looks really cool. B, you can just get more accurate with your tamping, because you can see where the coffee flows through. So if you're a little bit heavy on the right-hand side, then more water will flow out the left and so on and so forth. So it's a bit more accurate. And thirdly, you don't get any coffee oil buildup on the spouts below the coffee that could impart a grimy taste to the shot. So there's a few benefits. Yeah, it looks really cool. That was benefit A. And then I've got a Sylvia tamp, or I've got a Ranchilio tamp, which is really nice. It's perfect size, 58.2 mils, and it's got the Ranchilio logo on it. And because I've got the V3, I've got a ball-jointed steam wand on the Sylvia, and all the handles are ergonomically shaped, and they've got the logo on them, which is pretty cool. Oh, thank you. For me? Thank you. I've just been handed two quesadillas and a bottle of Cholula hot sauce, which, if you haven't had it, it is imported from Mexico, and it is the hot sauce of the Mexican royalty. It's very mild, and it's very tasty, and you should try it if you haven't. Cholula. So I'll keep talking while I munch on these quesadillas. Have a knife and fork, please. Have a knife and fork, please. Okay, good. Alright, so grinder. I've got plans to get a new grinder. I'm going to be led by Coffee Snobs, and I'm going to get a Compaq K3, which is often rebranded and sold as a Wager. It is the best, inverted commas, grinder, best value grinder under, well, it's the best value grinder under $1,000. I'll just pause and I'll be back in a sec. And I'm back. I'll just pause to eat my quesadillas so you didn't have to listen to me munching on them. Grinder. So you can get it for about the Compaq K3. You can get the push one for about somewhere between $500 and $600, including postage, depending on where you get it from. The Mazda Mini is also under $1,000, but it's a lot closer to $1,000, about $800 plus postage. And it's technically better in some ways, but not as good in others, according to one review. I'll just read you the specs of the Compaq. So I'll be getting one of these pretty soon when I save up. So it's got flat 58mm conical birds. It can run at 1300 RPM. It weighs 5.5 kilos. There you go. And where is it? I'll try and find it. Also, it's got quite a powerful engine in it. I'm just going to look that up too. So, yeah, it's 250 watt motor in it, which is pretty good as far as grinders for that price. In fact, I've seen some cafes, some commercial cafes that use this grinder as their backup. They've got the mini or the proper Mazdas, and then these are their backup grinders. They're pretty good. Alright, next, I've got a cover off pod machines. What I like about them, it stops people drinking instant. Number one. But there's not a whole lot else I like about them. I mean, they're cheap, they're easy to clean. What I don't like about them. Oh, they're consistent, I suppose that's a plus. They're consistent. Some of them will steam the milk for you. What I don't like. Personally, I don't like the quality of the beverages produced, no matter what people say, I don't think they're very nice. They're using pre-ground beans. Even though they're vacuum packed, they'll be stale. They're no fun. That's the main reason I don't like them. They're no fun. They're all automatic. You don't get to play around with different settings. That's really the main thing I don't like about them. Is that, well, from my point of view, that's why I like coffee, is I like making it. So I like having machines that you can, a manual, you can turn the pump on and off at different times yourself, and you have to put the grinds in, and you have to choose the grind and then pack it down properly. And yeah, you don't get any of that fun with a pod machine. And then the end product I don't think is very nice. So I can see why people like them, because they're cheap, they're very convenient, they're better than instant, generally speaking. There are different flavors or different roasts you can get the pods in, different strengths, etc. They're consistent, but they're no fun. They're just no fun. Alright, so another thing that I thought was pretty interesting is when my friend came over the other day, he's definitely a coffee snob. He's got went and bought different ways of brewing coffee. Even though he's got a nice machine, he's got the Sunbeam, but he wants to get the Silvia, I think. Or he'd really like to get an Expo Bar Minore, which is not a cheap machine, to $2,700 at least for the vibration pump version. My dream machine would be that with the rotary pump, which is about $3,500. I don't think I'll ever get one, but it's nice to think about them maybe one day. He introduced me to some of these other methods for brewing single origin coffees to get different tastes out of them. So there's a pour over method. Hario make a nice version of that. It's basically a big filter paper, and you put the grinds in, and then you put some water on top and let it steep or extract the flavors. And then you have a nice kettle with a thin spout, so you can consistently pour water over to finish off the extraction most consistently. That looked like a bit of fun, but it didn't look like as much fun as the siphon boiler method. Apparently Hario, it's a Japanese brand, make the best siphon machines. It looks like a science experiment, that's what everybody says. Basically, you've got a boiler, you've got a beaker at the bottom, then you've got a tube and a filter and a beaker at the top. You put the coffee in up the top, you heat the water in the bottom boiler, it evaporates and then condenses in the top chamber. It sucks it up, so it condenses very rapidly because it cools down very rapidly. So the water basically gets sucked up into the top chamber, and then so it's condensing, and then mixes around with the coffee grinds, and then you take the heater off. And then you stir it as it drips back to the bottom one as it cools down. It looks pretty cool. And I would actually like to give it a go because it looks like it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of different steps that have to be done precisely with timing and heat. So it looks like a bit of fun. But I don't know if it will produce the type of coffee that would be drinkable by me. Because the whole point is to get various flavours, like a tea, out of it. So it makes quite a bit of coffee, and then you pour it into a special cup, but usually bone china, so that when it cools, the flavour profile changes, and you can taste the different notes. You can taste the flowers and the strawberries and etc. etc. So I don't know, that part doesn't appeal to me, but the actual making it does, because it looks pretty cool. And then there's cold drip method, where you put a bit of coffee in the top chamber with some cold water, and you can set the rate at which it drips, which is about one drop a second. I'm sure there's a particular volume per drop in mils, and that will then run for about 8 hours, and at the end you get a really sweet iced coffee, which you drink cold, black, because apparently heat is what brings out the bitterness in a coffee. So that avoids all that, and you just get the sweetness extracted. That sounds pretty cool, but about $300 for a setup, and it looks really cool. It's not very hands-on though, because you're basically just putting the coffee in and letting it drip overnight. And I'd probably want to taste it first before I decided if I was going to get one of those setups, because I like the idea of a sweet iced coffee, but I'd probably still want to drink it with milk, not black. So that would depend. I'll probably get a better product out of espresso for that. Alright, so at this point, and we'll get into some rules in quotation marks. I'm going to run you through the rules that I use or try to stick to get a good cup of espresso. We'll do a flat white. So, okay, you've got your freshly roasted beans. You want them at 8 days, is what I've found. Some people say 4, some say longer, but I think 8 days tastes nicest. That's my opinion. So your roasted beans, 8 days after roasting, you grind them to such a fineness that when you pack your basket and tamp at 15 kilograms of pressure, which is pretty hard to gauge unless you can get clicker mats. Ben's got a clicker mat, so it's exactly 15 kilos when it clicks off, and you know you've reached the right pressure. I just do it by feel, but I've practiced on the scales from time to time, and it's pretty variable. You really have to be doing lots a day to get more consistent, I reckon. But that's what you're aiming for, 15 kilos. So then when you put the basket in the machine, you want, from the time you turn the pump on to the time of the first drop, that's 5 seconds. Once the coffee starts to flow, you want it to be running not like water and not dripping, but like honey. So the drops are joined. And it's like a viscous honey, but it's a constant flow, just on the verge of dripping. And that should last about 25 to 30 seconds, 23 to 30 seconds-ish, depending on how much coffee you've got in there. Now, I've got my machine set up with an 18 gram basket, which is 2.5 shots. If 7 grams is a shot. And you should be turning the... Yeah, so, okay, so... Alright, so for a standard shot, 7 grams of coffee goes in the basket. You adhere to all those rules I just mentioned. At the end of your 25 seconds, you have exactly 30 mils for a shot. If you're doing a double shot, it should be 60 mils. In the same time. If you're doing a ristretto, it's basically the same amount of coffee run into half the volume, or run with half the volume of water. So instead of 30 mils for a shot, you get 15. Instead of 60 for a double, you'd get 30. The idea is, this might come down to heat again, but the last part of the extraction will get all the bitterness. The first part's just the sweetness. So what I usually do is I do double and a half, and I aim for about 40 mils. 40 to 50 mils of ristretto. And you'll see the colour change in the pour when the extraction is finished. And those are the rules. Now for steaming, it's basically your final milk should be at 65 degrees. And it should be a constant microfoam all the way through, so it's a silky milk texture. And that's really the only rule. You set up a vortex to dispense the foam through the milk. Sometimes you can do a two-stage, so you have the one just buried to start with, and then you bury it deep in the milk after it gets to a halfway or so, and create a vortex to spin the foam through. I just put it a little bit under and spin it from the very start until the jug is just too hot not to touch for longer than an instant. And that is pretty close to 65 degrees. And it's basically just practice to get the right texture for the milk. Well, I'm almost getting to the end of what I can talk about for coffee. I guess the next place I want to go with my coffee is probably after I get a decent grinder. I'm also starting to think about maybe roasting. And my friend that came around and talked about and showed me some videos for these new methods, he said that he's got some friends roasting in a popcorn machine. They do about 40 grams at a time. It just spins a vortex of hot air in. And he reckons it works pretty well. But the reason... reasons why I would like to go to roasting my own is, one, freshness. I can start drinking from 4 days if I want, or 8 days, or whenever past the roasting, and really see what works the best. Also, green beans are an awful lot cheaper. They're about 11 to 15 bucks a kilo, as opposed to roasted from a shop like Campos or Gridlock. For a kilo of Campos, you could be paying 70 bucks, depending on which one it is and what method of postage you select. Gridlock's a bit cheaper than that, it's about $50. Still a fair bit more expensive than green beans. The other benefit is it's probably a lot of fun. There's a lot more stuff to play around with, and that appeals to me. The downsides, it's pretty expensive to, if you try and do it in a popcorn maker, probably not so much, and get one of them for about 30 bucks. But if you want to get a purpose built roaster, the cheapest good one I think is about $400 plus a setup for various storage containers. And quality wise, I'm not yet convinced that anything you can do at home will be as nice as something that you get from somebody doing it with a commercial roaster. But you never know. So one day I'm going to go along with my friend to see these. He's got a bunch of dudes he knows that are doing it with popcorn makers. I'm going to try and go along and see how that turns out. And if that's any good, then I might think a bit differently about it. But for now, I'm not jumping at the opportunity to go and buy one and start off roasting my own, but maybe in the not too distant future. That's the coffee episode. Final notes: if you're gonna buy a machine, you haven't ever bought a machine before, don't buy a pod machine. Buy a cheap Sunbeam, buy a cheap conical burr grinder, have a bit of fun, and then when you think you've played around enough to buy a proper machine, get a Sylvia and a compact K3. So, probably end on a song. While I'm looking for or thinking about a song that I might like to play for you, something I've noticed in the last couple of weeks is every time I drive to work, I get there about 9. Oh, that's right. So there's a rule with green beans. This is another reason why you might like to race yourself. Green beans last theoretically for 3 years. Then once roasted, beans are roasted, theoretically they last for 3 months. But really, I mean, they're probably stale once you open them from the vacuum pack within a week. And then once you've ground the beans, they're fresh for 3 minutes. So if you're making coffee with pre-ground beans, you're nowhere near. Okay, so I arrive at work at 9, and I adhere to the rule of nines, which is 9 a.m., 9 seconds, 9 inches. You figure it out. And then the janitor walks into the same bathroom every morning, literally after I've left him a present. If I were him, I'd be cleaning a different bathroom first and getting to that one a bit later. It was very awkward. I don't envy him at all. But it's a pretty funny pattern that I've recognised in the last couple of weeks. Okay. Songs. Played some Because of Ghosts last week. To keep Ben happy, I'm now going to play a bit of Followed by Ghosts. They're a pretty cool band. I'm not going to play the one he really likes, but I'll play the song that I listened to first that started me liking them. It's pretty cool. It's got it's not really representative of them actually, but it's pretty cool. It's more rock than post rock. It's basically they could sing over the top and it would sound like a rock song almost. But it's got some pretty cool guitar trills, and it's a good song to turn up loud. So this is Dear Monsters followed by Ghosts. Listen to it and hit me up on Twitter at Pufferfush if you want. I'll talk to you next time.
sin.